And so I have a question for you. If you did not know your age, how old would you be? Seriously, ask yourself, if you didn't know your age, how old would I be? Tell the person next to you. How old would you be? 18? Wow. If I didn't know my age, I would be 41. And I'm really 55. But isn't age a really interesting thing? And how we feel a certain age or not? Do you ever wonder about what it is exactly that lends itself to longevity and to feeling young? I read a new study has been done that I'd like to share with you, and it's done by a team composed of a team of specialists, of doctors, anthropologists, nutritionists, and all of a sudden I'm blank, endemiologists. They identified the following 9 longevity factors all across the entire world. 1, intense and regular physical activity in the performance of daily duties. And I kind of underline, in the performance of daily duties. 2, having a reason or reasons for being. 3, reduction of stress. And stress reduction means interrupting the normal pace of our busy lives to do things like take naps and have fun and play and pray and spend time with friends. 2, not eat until you are full, but to only eat to 80% of your capacity of feeling full. Eating a diet that is rich in plant-based products. Engaging in social groups that promote healthy habits. Engaging in religious communities with common religious practices. And building and maintaining relationships. Do you think it's just a coincidence that most of those are the same things that actually lend to us having a rich and a fulfilling life? Or do you think that maybe doing those things that lend themselves to having a rich and a satisfying and fulfilling life perhaps give your body this message that feels like life energy, that feels like vitality and aliveness and vivaciousness and buoyancy, and then your body reads that energy as life and as living and of being alive, and so you're doing those things and thinking those things, and that gives your body that energy, and your body responds in like. You think it's a coincidence? You know, we all have those needs, especially those needs to feel deeply connected. Remember, it's said to have deep relationships, to feel deeply connected to other people. To love and to be loved is a huge basic need of ours. To contribute and to share ourselves is another one of those needs. To share our own gifts and our own talents and our own wisdom, because all of that sharing gives us a reason for being, which was one of those things that I listed. And you know, we all hear stories about, usually it's men who retire from their jobs and like within a year they die. There is a thing that is called disuse atrophy. And it's talking about how atrophy of any kind lends itself when something continues to grow that it actually dies out. And so Deepak Chopra talks about this in his book called Creating Health that I'd like to share with you. He says, this is talking about when he was working as a medical doctor actually seeing patients. I observed that people recently laid off from work or generally unemployed have a greater incidence of complaints affecting every bodily system. Their bodies are suffering the same kind of atrophy that nature shows everywhere when something grows useless. In the scheme of things, what is useless soon dies out. Nature, and this includes our inner nature, has no room for what is useless. It promotes health only in those things that contribute to growth and increased development. To progress is to survive. Physiotherapists and exercise physiologists are well aware of a phenomenon called disuse atrophy. This is the wasting away of a limb or an organ that is not being used. Once the limb is made useful and functioning again, the process is reversed. Blood begins to flow in the part that was turning lifeless, and the more function is restored, the stronger and more powerful the part of the body becomes. So we have this need to share ourselves, to contribute, to make a difference, to contribute to a better world, and that makes us feel more alive. It gives us that sense of vitality and buoyancy and energy. And so, like he just said in that passage, we also have a need to grow. We have a need to unfold our own innate potential that lives within us, our own more yet to be that is already innately planted inside of us, to share that. And yes, we need to feel vibrant and alive, and those are some of the things that make us feel vibrant and alive. And so the title of my talk today is Forever Young, just like Harold sang for us. And what I'm talking about is how we stay forever young and vibrant and alive and in turn grow more magnificent and grow more beautiful and unfold and grow out instead of growing old when we live in alignment with that soul call to express and to have deep relationships and to love and be loved and to share ourselves. And what happens when we are living in that soul alignment, that alignment with our soul's desires, what happens is then we step out of the law of averages and we cease to age at the same rate as people who are just in that law of averages. We step out of that law of averages and we step out of aging. And so in the flow of life, Eric Butterworth talks about life in that way. He says, in the flow of life, time is not a drag, but an opportunity to gain in spiritual stature and beauty of person. And so my question to you is, ask yourself inside, how am I more beautiful now than I was 10 years ago? Because he says, actually, as one gets older in years, one should get cuter and funnier and mellower and more tolerant and more perceptive and wiser and more beautiful in new and unique ways. So how are you more beautiful now than you were 10 years ago? You have some answers? I know for me, I am so much more flexible and easygoing and accepting and non-judgmental. All of those are certainly make for a much more beautiful person. And so he tells a story that goes like this. A woman reporter traveling in India met an Indian woman of obviously advanced years who had that certain radiant something that made one want to look at her in admiration. The reporter finally said to her, "Madam, you are absolutely beautiful." The older woman replied in deep sincerity, "I ought to be, my dear, for I am over 75. To this woman, the years of her life meant added opportunity to develop true inner beauty rather than an excuse for deterioration and disfigurement. One of the problems is that we buy into this collective consciousness, this collective agreement of what it means to age and what it means to be of certain ages, like I'm going to need glasses when I'm 40. Or like, I'm going to gain weight after I turn 50. Or at 60, I'm going to have aches and pains. Or at 70, I'm going to have high blood pressure. Or whatever these societal agreements are, we buy into that stuff, not even knowing it's subconscious that we buy into that. And so if we go along with the crowd and do what the crowd is doing and think like the crowd is thinking, we are highly likely to step into every single one of those things and have it become our experience as well. So there's a woman named Sister Madonna Booter, who at age 87 is known as the Iron Nun for a good reason. She's a Roman Catholic nun originally from St. Louis who at 75 years old became the oldest person to complete the Ironman World Championship. That's a 2.4-mile swim, a 112-mile bike ride, and a 26.2-mile run. She didn't start racing until she was 48. However, since then, she's completed more than 340 triathlons and 45 full Ironmans. She says, I started running decades ago after a priest talked about the benefits of mind, body, and soul, how it harmonizes all three. That's what caught my attention. I remember thinking at the time, I'm not just a head or a heart or a physical piece. I'm a whole piece. And if it doesn't work together, you get off balance. That's what started me running, which led to me doing triathlons. And I think it's what's kept me hooked all these years later. She went on ABC's The Doctors in November to discuss her anti-aging mindset. She says, I think the secret is not to think about how old you are, because your mind, your thoughts control who you are. Imagine that. A nun telling us that. The 86-year-old appears front and center in Nike's new ad, Unlimited Youth, where she runs, bikes, and swims with a resilient ferocity that could outpace many who are half her age. 87, actually, now, and still doing Ironmans and still running and doing it because it lends itself to mind, body, soul harmony, doing it because it feels right to her and feels good to her, and I'm sure feels invigorating and gives her body that message, alive. She's being alive. And so it's interesting because, like I said, we live in this collective consciousness. Do you know, I'm sure you know, that different countries have different life expectancies? And not only do different countries have different life expectancies, but they actually have different diseases that people experience and different symptoms of the same disease that people experience. And so it is based partly on diet and partly on lifestyle, but it's also based partly on belief, what people think is possible, what they think is the norm, what they think that I'm going to need glasses when I turn 40 years old, that kind of thing. And so in Korea, the average life expectancy is 70. In Cambodia, it's 64. In Japan, it's 89. I have read, and I couldn't find where it is, that there's actually are countries where nobody experiences schizophrenia. Not a person, because they don't believe in it. It's not a concept in mind. And do you know also that women who live in Japan, when they go through menopause, they don't have hot flashes? Instead, they get stiff necks. Who's ever heard of a stiff neck? It's a collective consciousness that we get affected by. And so, unfortunately, right now, we live in this society, this collective consciousness that tells us, and it's partly brought about by the media, that's so focused on external beauty. And it says that to be young is what is beautiful, that youth is beautiful. And we buy into that and we start feeling somehow less than if we're not matching what this collective consciousness says. But how different would it be if we readjusted that lens and decided that beauty was about what emanates from inside of us? What if we readjusted that lens and decided that beauty is about how we live our lives and what it is that we do and how it is that we come to the world? And what if we also took that same lens and readjusted it, and instead of telling ourselves that we are too old for whatever, fill in the blank that you tell yourself you're too old for, instead you put your attention on the fact that you are an eternal, timeless being. An eternal, ageless, timeless being. That is who you are. If you took your attention from the material and instead saw yourself as that ageless, timeless being, knowing that you are simply here to express yourself. Ernest Holmes says, life cannot grow old. God in us, through us, as us, can only express according to its own nature, which is perfection. What if we put our attention on that within us? How different would our lives be, and how different would our bodies respond to that message? Because when we take our attention off of the material form, and instead we place our attention on our spiritual identity, the ageless, timeless, eternal aspect of ourself that has been created out of the perfection and the fabric of perfection that is of the divine, and instead we focus on that, the aging process shifts. How we feel shifts. How we come to the world shifts. And we step out of that aging, the collective idea of aging. We step out of deterioration. We step out of atrophy, and instead we are born anew. We are renewed. In the Bible, it says, behold, I make all things new. But did you get the word behold? Behold the presence of perfection and wholeness within you that is the very core of your being. Behold that which is eternal, which is who you really are. Behold that one presence and that one power that is perfection itself, that is within every cell of your body and is your spiritual identity. Behold that there is one presence that is life itself, and that is the life within you, and that life is always at the center of your being. Eric Butterworth says, life does not grow old. Life does not deteriorate. Life does not die. Life is an eternal, dynamic, flowing process. That's what's going on inside of us. Life. That's the essence of who we are. And so the way that I see it then, it's a two-part solution to grow upward and to grow onward and to grow in beauty instead of growing old. And that first piece is to give your body those messages that read as vibrant and buoyant and zestful and alive. And we do that by doing the things that we most love to do. The things that you feel passionate about, the things that feel good to you. So do those things, not once a week. Do something every single day that makes you feel more alive. Whether it's sharing yourself or whether it's being in the company of friends and people that you love, whatever it is that makes you feel alive, and exercise and eat live foods. Eat the rainbow, eat the green things. and spend time with people that you love. And come here and invest yourself and be involved with this spiritual community. And be involved with your own spirituality. That feeds your soul. And daily give yourself a reason for being. Remember, that was one of the first things that I read. Having a reason for being keeps you ageless. Whatever feels good to you in your reason for being, share yourself, your light, your gifts. Find a way to contribute to making this a better world in a way that fits for you. And continuously learn new things and try new things and do new things and go new places and have new experiences. That makes you feel alive. And part two, shift your perception. Cease identifying with your body and with your ailments and with how many years you've been on the planet or how many birthdays you've had, and instead identify as a spiritual being, that which is eternal and timeless and the reflection of perfection and wholeness. Identify with that. That part of you that is made in the image and likeness of perfection itself. That is your true identity. That is living in you and through you and as you. And as a result, you'll be living with vigor and with vitality, truly alive and truly ageless. And so blessings to each and every one of you on this path of living from your spirit and living this most magnificent life that you came here on planet Earth to experience. Blessings to all of you. And so I invite you to join me in an affirmative prayer. And so that is exactly what we do right here and right now as we take our attention from this material world, from that which seems so solid and so real, recognizing that it is not really solid. Everything is moving and everything is in flux and everything is pliable and movable and permeable. And so as we turn our attention to that infinite presence, that one that we call God, life, creativity and mind itself, that one from whence all things come, that one we recognize that, yes, it is right here in this room, that it is always closer than our very breath, and it is always within us, for it is the very essence of our soul, the very essence of our spirit. It is that which we have come from and that which we have come as. And so I recognize and know that we can never be separate for that one, not for a moment in all of eternity, for it is the very fabric of who we are. It is the very essence of who we are. And so today we turn our attention to that truth, knowing that as we do so, we set a new law in motion. That as we recognize that we are indeed timeless, eternal beings, that the law is acted upon that, and we are renewed, and we are refreshed, and we are born anew every moment. And so, yes, in the words of Harold Payne, something wonderful is happening to me right here and right now. And it is this thing called life. It is this presence of the infinite one, this presence of perfection and wholeness and magnificence, living itself in me and through me and as me and in and through and as each one of us in this room, having its way by means of us here on planet Earth. And so I know that it is absolutely God's good pleasure to heal us and to make us whole and vibrant and alive. For it is when we are in that position that we more readily and easily share this light. And so as we turn our attention and turn our attention to the truth that there is only this one, healing is the natural result. Wholeness is the natural result. vitality and energy is the natural result. And so I give thanks for knowing this truth. I give thanks for the opportunity to live this most beautiful life. I give thanks for this opportunity for each of us to be beautiful and to be magnificent and to be sharing our own light with this world. And so I release this prayer into that creative womb of the universe, knowing that it is returned unto each of us in full fruition. For it is simply the truth, and we are making ourselves open to that, and it cannot help but flow into our lives. And so I release this prayer, and I say, thank you, God, and so it is.